Today's service is one of meditation and prayer, an opportunity to reflect on the great suffering that Jesus endured for us. After each reading and meditation and prayer, we will say the words of the one of the men crucified next to Jesus. This man knew that he was guilty and deserved to be punished. He acknowledged his sin and appealed to the grace and mercy of Jesus and asked, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." As we reflect on the cross and the reason for it, we do the same. Without any excuse and without any pretense of somehow being better than we are, and acknowledging our own weaknesses and vulnerability, we also appeal to God's mercy and grace and ask, "Jesus, remember me. Jesus, do not hold my sin against me. Jesus, have mercy on me." We make this prayer our prayer as we say, "Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember me. We come into your kingdom."
Jesus is condemned. Jesus stood before the Roman governor who questioned him. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asked. "So you say," answered Jesus. But he said nothing in response to the accusations of the chief priests and elders. So Pilate said to him, "Don't you hear all these things they accuse you of?" But Jesus refused to answer a single word, with the result that the governor was greatly surprised. "What shall I do with Jesus, called the Messiah?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they all answered. But Pilate asked, "What crime has he committed?" Then they started shouting at the top of their voices, "Crucify him!" When Pilate saw that it was no use to go on, but that a riot might break out, he took some water, washed his hands in front of the crowd and said, I am not responsible for the death of this man. This is your doing. He had Jesus whipped and handed him over to be crucified.
Why doesn't Jesus say anything? Why doesn't he proclaim who he is? Why doesn't he confront the disbelief of the crowds and the arrogant countenance of the powers that be? He says nothing. Surely there are others who will speak up for him. Where are the lepers who were healed? Where are the blind who can see? Where are all the people who ate the bread and fish on the hillside? Where are those who followed Jesus so easily when they thought he would become king of the Jews? Yet no one speaks. No voice in the crowd comes to Jesus' defence. Jesus stands alone. Jesus stands before Pontius Pilate, the power of Rome. Weakness stands before strength, and yet Pilate, the ruthless enforcer for the empire, is not really in control here. He cannot make Jesus confess. He cannot quiet the crowds. For all his power, he cannot find the courage to do what is right. So he does what is safe. He yields to the crowds for the sake of order. Pilate washes his hands, a symbol of his lack of courage, strength, and power. His lack of commitment to do what is right and just. The one who stands before governor in chains, bruised from the beatings, spit on his face, is a person with real strength. Pilate washes his hands and abandons Jesus. But Jesus does not wash his hands of the Father's will or of us. He is determined to love you and me regardless of the cost. God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all in Romans 8:32. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are ashamed to admit how often we wash our hands of you. Give us the courage to follow you even when all others reject you. Help us to be determined and firm in our conviction that following your will and showing your love to all is more important than any other treasure that we have in our life. Grant that the way of the cross may be the way for us, the way of life and peace. We ask all this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Please repeat, Jesus remembers me when we come into your kingdom.
Jesus is crowned with thorns and mocked. Then Pilate's soldiers took Jesus into the governor's palace, and the whole company gathered around him. They stripped him of his clothes and put a scarlet robe on him. Then they made a crown out of thorny branches and placed it on his head and put a stick in his right hand. Then they knelt before him and made fun of him. Long live the King of the Jews, they said. They spat on him and took the stick and hit him over the head. When they had finished making fun of him, they took the robe off him and put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
I cringe at the pain of the thorns, but I wonder far more deeply at the humiliation and degradation Jesus suffered. Stripped naked for all to stare at, a crown of thorns thrust upon his head, a stick in his hand and a scarlet robe on his shoulders. Soldiers bowing in mockery, spitting, hitting and whipping. How cruel people can be towards their fellow human beings. We hear of men, women and children suffering and dying at the hands of others, even those who claim to love them. How unkind can we be to the people around us? We like to think that we are ready to follow Jesus who offers us peace and love. But are we? Are we willing to let love and peace control us and lead us to live as people who truly want to serve others? Even though it may not always be easy or convenient. There in Pilate's courtyard we see the true servant. He's willing to endure anything. No complaints, no protesting his innocence, no cursing, simply accepting the cross for us, enduring all things for us. The thorns, the whip, the mockery, the nails, the cruel death. He did it all for us. He loves us, even though it is our sin that caused him so much pain. Because of our sin, he was wounded, beaten because of the evil he did. Isaiah 53:5. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing yourself to be tied and condemned and scourged, for the joy of bringing salvation to all people, and because of your great love for us, you endured the shame and the pain. Amen. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the
Simon carries the cross. The soldiers led Jesus away, and as they were going, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, who was coming into the city from the country. They seized him, put the cross on him, and made him carry it behind Jesus.
I can only imagine the awful weight of the cross Jesus carried. It is not just the weight of the beams of the wood that pressed down on him. It is also the weight of the burden that he carried for those whom he loved. He came to offer them life, and yet they return only death. So we see Jesus fall from the crushing weight of pain and grief. His physical strength is failing. The soldiers must recognise this as well, because they force a man from the crowd to help Jesus carry the cross the rest of the way to the place where he will be crucified. Simon for Cyrene was just a bystander passing through on his way into town from the countryside, and yet he bears the weight of the cross to save Jesus' strength. I would like to think that if I'd been there, that I would have rushed from the crowd and volunteered to carry the cross for Jesus. But would I have had the courage to face the Roman soldiers and risk being forced to walk with Jesus and his cross? Would I have really been so eager to share his cross? Or would I have tried to be invisible in the crowd? When the soldiers are looking around for someone to press into service, would I have looked away and pretended not to notice that something was happening? It is easy to pretend not to see needs, the grief, the suffering around me every day. It is easy to pretend not to hear the cries for help that come in many forms from those among who I walk with every day. It is easy to convince myself that I'm too busy, too tired, or have too much on my plate already to get involved to the lives of others. There are simply too many who need too much. And yet I remember something that Jesus said, something about taking up my own cross and following him. Jesus said something about becoming a servant to all, of putting myself last and others first. Is this what it means to be a servant? Is Jesus showing me what it means to be that kind of servant? Is this man from Surrey modelling for me the path of discipleship? Those who do not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciples. Luke 14:27. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son came not to be served, but to serve. Forgive us for becoming so preoccupied with ourselves that we have become deaf and blind to the grief and suffering of those around us. Constantly remind us that we cannot love you without loving others well. Help us to always remember that to be a follower of yours means that we share in the burdens of others. Lord, show us someone whose cross we may need to help carry. Amen. Jesus remembers me when he comes into the kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Jesus meets the women of Jerusalem. A large crowd of people followed him. Among them were some women who were weeping and wailing for him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Women of Jerusalem, don't cry for me, but for yourselves and your children. For the days are coming when people will say, how lucky are the women who never had children, who never bore babies, who never nursed them. That will be the time when people will say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, hide us. For if such things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?
As Jesus struggles along the road toward that awful place of death, a group of women among the crowd following Jesus are crying, wailing, already grieving Jesus approaching death. So now as Jesus bears the most unimaginable pain of body and heart, he shows incredible love and mercy. He's about to die and is suffering unbelievable pain, and yet he is more concerned with others than he is with his own suffering and impending death. He stops to speak with them, to warn them of the pain and suffering that they and the whole nation of Israel will experience because of their rejection of their Messiah. Do I ever stop in the mix of my own troubles, like you did, Lord Jesus, to express concern and to care for others? Am I so caught up in living out my own life that I lose sight of what is happening in the lives around me? Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Psalm 126, 5. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me for not fully embracing your sacrifice for me, for not living every moment of my life in the way that glorifies you and tells others that you are my Lord and Saviour. Forgive me for being so caught up in my own troubles and my own busyness of life that I forget to stop and encourage and care for others. Help me to never lose sight of who you are, or for what you have done for me, and how that means I should act towards others who are around me. Amen. Jesus remembers me when you come into your kingdom.
There when they crucified. tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there?
Jesus is stripped of his clothes. After the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took the robe, which was made of one piece of woven cloths without any seams in it. The soldiers said to one another, "Let's not tear it, let's throw dice to see who will get it." This happened in order to make the scripture come true. They divided my clothes among themselves and gambled for my robe. And this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene.
Jesus is forced to suffer the worst human indignity. He stands alone as the soldiers strip from him the last thing that he possesses and plays games to see who will claim it. They thought Jesus was no different to the 100 of other criminals they crucified. Yet he is. He is completely different. Yet yesterday Jesus removed his cloak and laid it aside to wash his disciples' feet. Now he's allowing others to strip off his clothes. He couldn't have stopped it, stopped their gambling, stopped them stripping him. He could have stopped it all with one breath, with one word. Yet he doesn't. He allows them to publicly disgrace and ridicule him. He is left with nothing, nothing, not even human decency. He gave away everything to be utterly humiliated, stripped naked for us, for me, for you. Why? We have nothing of worth to give him. We can't pay him back for this. Where is our gratitude for this? Why does he allow himself to be so humiliated? Because of his total commitment to you and to me. He lays aside everything for us. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. In Psalm 22:17. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus willingly allowed himself to be humiliated because of his deep commitment to each of us. He stretched his arms of love on the hard wood of the cross so that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to acknowledge and love of Jesus and all that he endured for us. For the honour of your name, amen.
Jesus is nailed to the cross. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The notice of the accusation against him said, "The King of the Jews." They also crucified two bandits with Jesus, one on his right and another on his left. People passing by shook their heads and hurled insults at Jesus. "Aha! You who were going to tear down the temple and build it back up in 3 days, now come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law made fun of Jesus, saying to one another, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let us see the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him."
The last awful step in the journey of death is about to be taken. Jesus is laid on the ground, his arms spread out, so that his wrists are on the ends of the crossbar. A spike is driven through each of his wristbones. The pain is excruciating. Jesus' body is hoisted into place, its weight pressing on his ribcage and lungs, making it almost impossible to breathe. A spike is driven through his feet. With painful effort, that condemned can push up on the spike in his feet to catch his breath. But to do so only prolongs the agony. I want to rage at the injustice of this. The cruelty of the Romans, the hypocrisy of the high priest and the religious leaders, the cowardice of the disciples, the treachery of Judas, the fickleness of the crowds. Don't they remember that Jesus only spoke of love and even of loving enemies? How could they be so cruel to the most perfect human that ever lived? And yet, would we have done differently? Are the guilty ones those who actually there that day condemned him and hammered him in the nails, with the nails? Or is it human sin that drives the nails? My sin. I want to pretend that I have no part in Jesus' indignity and death. But I was there. Jesus, you are here dying because of my sin. I was there. It was I who drove in the nails. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Isaiah 53:5. Please let us pray. Lord, remind us of the deathly cost of sin. Forgive us for those things that we have done that are displeasing to you. Forgive us for not allowing you to deal with the darkness that we harbour in the hidden recesses of our hearts. Forgive us for fooling ourselves into believing that we are more righteous than we are, that we are better than others, and that we have no need to repent. Forgive us for those things we should have done but found excuses not to do. Give us grace to humble ourselves before you so that our sins may be laid bare and we may know your forgiveness. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Jesus dies. At noon, the whole country was covered with darkness, which lasted for 3 hours. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, my God, why did you abandon me? With a loud voice, Jesus died. The curtain hanging in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The army officer who was standing there in front of the cross saw how Jesus had died. This man was really the Son of God, he said.
It is dark in the middle of the day. It seems that the heaven and the earth are grieving, telling us that something is horribly wrong. Jesus, I hear you cry out and lament from the Psalms and know that it is the cry of human pain and desolation. Everyone has forsaken you, but there is one who still hears your prayer, the one you address as my God. The earth shakes, the curtain in the temple is torn right down the middle, the Holy of Holies is exposed for all to see. What does this mean? Who are you? There is even a Roman who thinks that you are the Son of God, but you are dead. It's too late. What have we done? Is there any hope? Yet you never stop loving us even in death. You died because of human sin, because of us. Sin is never the final word. God can redeem the worst that human beings can do. But this, what can come out of this? What can God do with such a final ending? We hope and wait. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Even death on the cross. Philippians 2:8. Let's pray. O God, you give us your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross for our redemption and deliver us from the power of the enemy by his glorious resurrection. May we die to sin each day so that we may live forever with him who died and rose again for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
When it was evening, a rich man from Arimathea arrived. His name was Joseph, and he also was a disciple of Jesus. He went into the presence of Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate gave orders for the body to be given to Joseph. So Joseph took it and wrapped it in a new linen sheet and placed it in his own tomb, which he had just recently dug out of solid rock. Then he rolled a large stone across the entrance to the tomb and went away.
Like every human being, Jesus was born with nothing and dies naked and alone. The hysterical glamour of the Passion is now quiet. His bruised and blood-stained body, marked with wounds of nails and spear, is hastily washed and wrapped in a clean linen shroud and laid in the coldness of a stone tomb. Now an anonymous corpse, seemingly like any other, he is buried as he was born, in obscurity, no funeral procession, no elaborate mourning. Vaguely the words of promise and resurrection spoken to the disciples in these last days stir in their memories and puzzle them as they try to piece together what Christ's death has meant. However, we know how the story ends. We know that this is not the final amen. Over Jesus of Nazareth, in just a few short hours, he will emerge from the cold, dark tomb, victorious over sin and death. His agony has been worth it. You will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see decay. Psalm 16:10. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, you rested in the tomb on the Sabbath day and so sanctified the grave to be a bed of hope for your people. Lead us to sorrow for our sins, which were the cause of your suffering and death, and grant that when our bodies lie in the dust, we may rise and live with you. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, we bless you. By your holy cross, you have redeemed the world. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. For the final blessing today. Most merciful God, who by death and resurrection of your Son Jesus Christ delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We just ask that you would just leave quietly. If you'd like to sit and reflect, please take the opportunity to do that. And it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. So hopefully we'll see you at 10 o'clock on Sunday or 9:30 at our late service. Thank you.